Okay, good morning. We are doing Maseches Sukkah, the weekly shiur in Maseches Sukkah, sponsored by Yitzweiss CPA. Shake things up a bit this tax season. And breakfast is sponsored, as always, by Bagel Munch in honor of Jaime's granddaughter. And we are doing Sukkah Daf Chaf Beis. We're starting at the Mishnah Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, where we left off last week. And the Mishnah says, Hasomech, we're talking about different ways of building a sukkah. And the Mishnah says, Hasomech sukaso bekare hamita kshera. If you build your sukkah kind of integrated with a bed, you use the sides of the bed, the walls of the bed, as long as you otherwise comply with all the requirements of a sukkah, meaning it's at least 10 tefachim tall between the bottom of the bed and the schach. But if you do this all right, then it's kosher. There's no reason why it's not, says the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, if the sukkah can't stand on its own, which is a little bit of a cryptic statement, the Gemara is going to explain a little immediately what that means, so then it's puzzle. So Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanakhama, who seems to say that this integrated sukkah slash bed is kosher. And Rabbi Yehuda says it's puzzle im ina yichol lamod bifnei atzma if it doesn't withstand it, if it can't stand on its own. The Gemara immediately says, what's Rabbi Yehuda talking about? My time is Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Or what's the case described by Rabbi Yehuda? Pligi bar Rabbi Zeira v'Rab Abba bar Mamel. They argue as to what Rabbi Yehuda is getting at. Chad amar mipnei she'en la keva. So one of them says that what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that a bed is portable. You could pick up a bed, you can move it. As opposed to the schach that we have in our backyard, it's kind of very heavy and it stays there. A bed is something that can be moved around. And Rabbi Yehuda was one of those Tanaim who held that on Dav Zion, that a requirement of a sukkah, counterintuitively, we think of sukkah as a diras arai, as a temporary structure, but there's a whole litany of Tanaim on Daf Zayin who said, no, actually there are elements of the sukkah that require permanence. It needs to be very strong. It needs to be a structure that withstands elements.
That's a big question then on the Babich and the sukkah mobile.
That would work for these Tanaim, I guess, because it's a diras keva, because that's a pretty... Oh, you're saying because it moves. Yeah, but once it's parked, you put it in park, it's not moving anymore, right? So I don't think the potential to move it if you put it on wheels or if you take it out of park is the issue. But if it's in park and it's strong, then you're okay, I think. So these Tanaim, including Rabbi Yehuda, said that a sukkah requires an element of permanence. And so a bed doesn't do the trick for Rabbi Yehuda, because a bed is something that you could easily move around. And so that's one opinion as to what Rabbi Yehuda is getting at. He says that if you integrate your sukkah with a bed, use the walls of the bed and the sides of the bed as your walls, that's no good because it's not permanent enough. It's not keva, she'en la keva. V'chad amar, another interpretation of what Rabbi Yehuda meant, mipnei she'ma'amida b'davar ha'mekabel tuma. Our issue is that you are holding up the schach with something that's a davar makabel tuma. Now, we learned earlier in the Masechta on Daf Yud, I think, right, Yud Aleph, that a schach has to be made from something that's not makabel tuma. It has to be something that's giduim in a karka, and it's not makabel tuma. It has to be grown from the ground, and it can't be makabel tuma. You can't use metal poles as your schach. That's just not going to work. But we've always assumed that the walls of the sukkah can be made of anything, right? Rashi points out here that even though that's true, even though only schach has to be a davar shein makabel tuma, and walls presumably can be made from metal or anything, if the schach is held up by a davar shein makabel tuma, that's a problem of maimed. Now, the Gemara here presents it as a kind of a minority opinion, as one opinion is of what Rabbi Yehuda says. But la halacha, maimed is an issue that the Rishonim and Achronim grapple with. If you're otherwise kasher schach, you have good bamboo poles that are not makabel tuma, they're gidul min hakarka, but if they are held up by metal, let's say you have metal beams on the top of your sukkah and the schach goes directly on the metal, that's potentially a problem of maimed. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda is getting at here. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda is not comfortable with using the bed as the walls of the sukkah is because the bed is a davar makabel tuma. It's a kli. It's something that's usable. It's not just pshute kliyates. It's an actual item, a kli. It's makabel tuma. And when you lay your schach on top of this bed, it's maimid on a dover hamakabel toma.
How about if you have like a metal wire that's kind of like holding the bamboo together?
Yeah,
like so that's intertwined. So it looks like a mat. But instead of having whatever regular weaved material, yeah, like you have metal wire.
Yeah, so that gets in that. The reason why when you buy the bamboo mats, they're not interwoven by wire. They use
string
or whatever, is precisely because of this issue. And this issue is wide ranging. It's what if you have a metal frame of a sukkah and your schach is sitting directly on the metal.
Like the tarp sukkahs.
Like the tarp sukkahs, yeah. Any of these sukkahs.
Old-fashioned blue and yellow canvas.
Yeah, right, exactly.
even the fiberglass metal ones have the same.
Right, exactly. So the problem is if your schach is directly sitting on the metal, it's a problem of maimed.
I'm not talking about sitting on. It's like, you know, like the metal goes.
Yeah, that's so right. So I think that's also related to the issue of maimed, is if something that's makabatum is playing a substantial role in keeping the schach together or keeping it up on top or whatever, mm-hmm. So then that's a problem. That's the problem that Rav Yehuda is identifying here. Now, the Rishonim go to town on this issue of maimed because, as the Rush points out, if you have a stone walls and your schach is sitting directly on the stone, who ever heard of that being a problem? The Rush says it's a maizim b'chol yom, that we see sukkahs all the time that are built out of stone. And our sukkahs aren't so much stone, but I guess in Yerushalayim maybe they are, you know, whatever. But you have something, and stone is something that is mekabel tuma. Stone is mekabel tuma? Yeah, I guess if it's a kli or whatever. This is the way the Rush phrases the question. He says, I don't understand. We see all the time you have schach sitting directly on the stone, and it's not a problem. So the Karban Nisano points out, he quotes the Ran as saying, well, the only issue of a maimed, the only reason why Rav Yehuda had a problem with maimed, of your schach sitting on something that's makabel tuma, is because it's a gezeira that if people see kosher schach sitting on a dover makabel tuma, they might say, oh, makabel tuma is not such a problem, and they'll end up using those metal poles for their schach itself, and that would be a disaster. That's clearly no good. But something like stone, no one ever is going to use stone as your actual schach because it's just too heavy. It's not going to work. And so therefore, your schach sitting on stone is not a problem. That's the way the Karban Nisano. The Rishonim kind of debate this whole issue. Bottom line is, it's a machlokas Rishonim as to whether or not maimed is really a problem. Because look, in Arab Gemara, it only presents itself as one interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda's, the minority opinion against the Chacham in this Mishnah. It doesn't seem to be a problem. But the Rishonim kind of go, and there's a big machlokas Rishonim that's cited at length in the Shaar Etzion in the Mishnah Brura here. At the end of Tafrei Shlamed, as to whether Maimid's really a problem. And the bottom line is that it's not, doesn't possible it, but the Magen Avram says that you should be machmir not to have your schach sitting directly on something that's metal, for example. Better to be careful. But anyway, that's one of the interpretations of what Rabbi Yehuda is getting at when he says that you can't use a bed as your foundation for your sukkah. Good. So my binayu. So again, we present the two interpretations of what Rav Yehuda is getting at. Is it that it's because it's the bed is too impermanent and Rav Yehuda requires a more permanent structure? Or is it that it's a maimid, it's that the bed is makabel tuma and your schach is sitting on something that's makabel tuma? So my binayu, what's the difference between these two halacha? What's the difference whether you follow that or that? And my answer gives an obvious answer. Kigon shenot shipudim shel barzel. Let's say you take metal poles, you stick them in the ground in a very good, strong, permanent way. And now on those poles, that pole structure, that metal pole structure, you place your schach on it. So if the problem with the bed was that it wasn't permanent enough, these metal poles that are stuck in the ground that are very strong, they are permanent. They are very strong, and then that's not a problem. And the interpretation that Rabbi Yehuda's problem was that you are situating this schach on a davar shem makabel tuma. Well, hare mamida b'davar makabel tuma. In this situation as well, your metal poles are things that are makabel tuma, and then it would be problematic. Amar Abaye says, Roshanu ela samach, aval sichecha gabe hamita kshera. So Abaye points out that Rabbi Yehuda is only really going to have a problem if the sukkah was integrated in the bed. If you actually use the parts of the bed as your walls and put the schach directly on those walls That's what we're talking about, either because it's a davar mekabel tuma or because it's not permanent enough. Aval sichech agabe hamita, but if you, the way Rashi understands this is v'lasamach hasichech b'krayim el agabe yisedos. If you kind of use the mita as the walls, but the schach isn't sitting directly on those walls, you've built a separate structure surrounding the bed, and you're just using elements of the bed as your walls. So then that's not a problem. My time, and why should that be? And again, this seems kind of obvious. If you say the problem with the bed was that because it didn't have permanence, here you've built a separate structure, separate from the bed, that's independently holding up the schach, and you're only using the bed as the walls, and therefore it doesn't violate that problem of being lakeva, because your separate structure that's kind of built around the bed does have permanence. And the person who held that Rabbi Yehuda's problem was that you are you're leaning your schach on a davar makabel tumba, namely the bed. Harein ma'amida b'davar makabel tumba. Here you are not putting it directly on the bed. You're putting it on this kind of exterior structure that's framing the bed, and the bed's just sitting there as the walls, and therefore it's not a problem of ma'amid. You're not being ma'amid on davar makabel tumba. You're being ma'amid on your separate structure around the bed. Okay, now a new Mishnah. Mishnah says sukkah. Hamid duvlelas. We're going to the top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Sukkah mid duvlelas. So Rashi immediately says we're going to get to what mid duvlelas means in the Gemara. It's an unfamiliar word. What?
That's good.
That's good. We'll get, yeah, no one knows what mid duvlelas is. The Gemara is going to immediately jump in and say, what's a mid duvlelas? Vishet silsa miruba mechamasa. So famously, we know that in order for your sukkah to be kosher, your schach has to exceed the part. You have to have more schach, more shade than sun coming through. You have to have more schach than gaps in the schach. So v'shet silsa miruba mechamasa, as long as the shade is more than the sun, kashera, that's a kosher sukkah. And then separately, hamu'uva kemin bias. Let's say you have a schach that's very, very thick, almost like a roof of a house. Alright, there's kind of an urban legend that you have to see the stars through the schach. Apparently that's not true. The Mishnah says even if you can't see the stars through the schach, it's kosher. It's a kosher sukkah. We'll qualify that soon, at least according to Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel at the very end of today's daf. But at least for now, you can have a very thick layer of schach, even so much so that you can't see through it to the stars, and it's still kosher. So the Gemara now says, my miduvlelos. So when we said that a sukkah miduvlelos is kosher, my miduvlelos, and it's machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Amar Rav, sukkah aniya. It's a sparse sukkah. It means that there's not a lot of schach there. It's very sparse. Enough. There's just barely enough. Rashi says, sheish b'schacha kanem ma'at, v'ish ba'avir harbei, so it's very sparse. That's Rav. V'Shmuel Amar Kana Ola V'Kana Yored. Shmuel says Miduvlelos means that you have the schach sitting at different elevations. So you have, the top of your sukkah, you have a piece of schach there, and then you have a piece of schach there, and you have a piece of schach there, and then a piece of schach there. They're not sitting at the same elevation. There's gaps in between them. That's Shmuel. So Rav Tani Chada, Vishmuel Tani Tarte. The Gemara is just observing that Rav's interpretation is that there is one category or one situation the Mishnah is describing, whereas Shmuel is describing, has the Mishnah describing two situations. Rav Tani Chada, Sukkah Miduvlelos. He says a sparse sukkah is my Miduvlelos. What does it mean, sparse sukkah? Miduldelos, Shetzilsa Miruba, meaning it's sparse, but as long as there's enough schach so that the shade overpowers or is greater than the sun, it's kosher. Rav is reading the Mishnah as one describing one thing in the beginning. At sukkah miduvlelos, a sparse sukkah, as long as silsa meruba mechamasa, as long as the shade is bigger than the or is more than the sun, then it's kosher. Vishmuel Tani Tarti. Shmuel actually has the Mishnah describing two scenarios. My meduvlelos, mebulbelos. Duvlelos means mebulbelos, that it is it's like half schach, half shade. Vitarti katani sukkah mibul belas kashera. If it's a sukkah that's mibul belas, how do they interpret the walls there? That it's just a mixture of sun and shade, I guess, right? So that's kosher. I'm sorry. Mibul belas is the description that Shmuel had for what we just decided, where it's up and down. It's at two different elevations, right? So again, Shmuel, let me start again. Stagger. Shmuel is describing two things, the stagger. Shmuel is describing two situations in his Mishnah. Tani Tarde, my Miduvelas. Miduvelas is Mibul belas, meaning that you have a schach up, schach down. Schach down, schach up, schach down, schach up. It's not at the same elevation, and that's what we'll describe in a minute, how you deal with that exactly. But that's kosher in some scenarios. And separately from that, for different, completely different scenario, different case, if you have schach, more schach than sun, then it's kosher. So Shmuel is describing two scenarios. He's describing two halachos. One is that the schach is at different elevations, staggered, and the other is that you have more schach than sun, and in both those situations, it's kosher. Now Abai is going to qualify Shmuel. When we said that the schach at different elevations is kosher, that's not always true. Amar Abai, lo shanu elashein bein ze lezeh shlosh tefachim. That's only if the gap between the lower schach and the higher schach is less than three tefachim. Three tefachim usually is our measurement for lavud. Generally speaking, when two things are within three tefachim, the Gemara kind of collapses, the halacha kind of collapses them together and says you disregard the gap and they're lavud, it's as if they're attached. And so therefore here, this lower schach and upper schach are within three, so it's as if they're kind of all coming together and it's one integral chain of schach. It's not a problem.
Wouldn't that also have to be with the angle of the sun? Because if schach is like this and the sun's like this,
yeah,
you're going to get a lot more sun than if the sun is at 12 o'clock high.
Yeah, the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to talk about that problem.
Oh, okay.
The way the Gemara is going to deal with it is, do you measure the sun being greater than the shade at the floor, kind of the way the shadow falls, or do you measure it at the actual schach, which is that issue, I think, right?
So it'll be on the floor, I think, but yeah. Doesn't matter.
Are we looking at the shadow that's cast, or are we looking at the actual material used for the schach? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. But we're going to get to that on the base. Here we're dealing with, I think, for it's easiest to think for purposes of this analysis of the sun being directly above. So, mm-hmm. Right. So as far as the sun's concerned, you have perfect shade because the sun doesn't care whether the schach is low or high. Except as you point out when it's an angle. But let's assume for a moment the sun's
right.
Totally above. And from the perspective of a guy sitting below, he looks up and he's got schach, right? Some's low, some's high, but at least from the perspective of the guy sitting below, it's all there. So Abai points out, as long as the schach is within, the upper and the lower are within three tefachim of each other, we're going to say love it. It all collapses and is analyzed as one integrated schach, and it's not a problem. Aval, yesh bein zela zel gimel tefachim. But if there's a gap of more than three tefachim between the lower schach and the upper schach, so then it's going to be a problem. Rava comes in and adds something else. I'm a Rava. Afilu yesh bein zela zeh shlosha tefachim, nami. Even if there are more than three tefachim in between the lower schach and the upper schach, nami lo amrin, it's only problematic, elosh ein begago tefach. That's only a problem if any singular piece of schach is less than a tefach. Aval yesh begago tefach, but if every singular piece of schach that's, let's think about it as the upper parts, if those upper pieces of schach are more than a tefach wide, which we could think of as, I don't know, 3-4 inches, a tefach is usually a fist, right, a hand breadth, so then kshera, meaning if you have 2x4s going across, and a 2x4 is, I guess it's 4, right? It's a little less than 4, technically.
3.5.
3 5/8. Okay. So maybe 3 5/8 is about a tefach. So if you have a 2x4 going across, so then Rava says here that if you have a 2x4 going across, even if it's more than 3 tefachim removed from the lower 2x4s, You have a 2x4 here, then you have a 2x4 here, then you have a 2x4 here, then you have a 2x4 here. Even if the upper ones are more than 3 tefachim away from the lower ones, he says it's not going to be a problem as long as each 2x4 is a 2x4 and not a 1x3, as long as it's a tefach wide. Why? De'amrinan chavot rami, because we have a rule in halacha in these measurements that if something is a tefach wide, that's a significant enough item that we say chavot rami, that we use this Talmudic principle of chavot rami, which means kind of think of it as falling down. I don't know, how do they translate chavot rami? Chavot rami is as if like it kind of shoots down, right? What do they say chavot rami is? It's based on the principle, as Rashi points out, of good achis. We have, generally speaking, in Hilchos Sukkah and Hilchos Erevin, if you have an item that, let's say, for example, you have a canopy sticking out from a house, and it's surrounded on two sides by walls, but the third side is open, we say that there's a halachic principle that we just say good achis mechitzta, that it's as if the mechitza just shoots down. The fact that there's a lip at the top, constructively, we say that it's as if there's a mechitza, good achis mechitza. So here too, chavot rami. But chavot rami, this idea that you have can kind of constructively think of as a wall coming down, that's only true if the thing that you're coming off of, that lip that you're coming off of, is a significant enough thing. If it was just a 1x3 or a very thin strip, that wouldn't be significant enough to say chavot rami, to say good achis. It's got to be significant so that it's at least a tefach wide. And if it's a tefach wide, then you're going to say constructively good achis, chavot rami, something comes down as if it comes down from the lip of the item. And says Rava, how do I know this? Where do I learn this whole thing of chavot rami? Amar Rava, mino amino la. How do I know this? Mino amino la dechi'is, where is that, abba? Dechi'is ba tefach. Amrinan chavot rami. V'chiles bait lo amrinan chavot rami. How do I know that in order to say chavot rami, it's as if that the thing's coming down, there's an imaginary wall. How do I know that it's only true by a tefach where the material on top was a tefach wide, but if it's not a tefach wide, you don't get to say chavot rami? Ditnan. Because we have a Mishnah in Oholos talking about Tuma and Tara, where it's describing a similar house that's roof is made of 2x4s that are staggered down up. So bad way to make a house because it's probably going to rain into your house. But that's the situation in this Mishnah in Olos. So the Mishnah in Olos says Koros Habayis Valia. If you have beams of a house and of a attic Sheina Leam Maziva, where there's no cement kind of connecting them, Vein Mechuvanos, and they are not staggered. They are one on top of another. Let me just grab another. We've got two svarim, so we could use those. So we have right beams, one on top of another. Hey, mechuvanos. Tuma tachas achas mehen. And there's a dead body, or something tame, under one of them. Wait, I'm done. I don't have enough hands because I'm losing the place when I pick up. They're one on top of another. So if there's something tame under here, so we know that the rules of Tumas Ohel are that anything else under there is also going to come tame. If you have a vessel under this and a dead body under this, they share a roof, and therefore the Tumah is going to move from one thing to another. Bain hatachtona leelyona. Let's say you have something tame between this one and that one. So there's something tame right there, right? So beinehen tame. So then something else that's under both of them is going to become tame. Al gabe helyona. But if you have a vessel on top, so then kinegda agarakia tame. I read that wrong. If you have what's above is tame, meaning tuma is always going to go up ad l'rakia until there's something being chotzeitz. We had that last week, right? I think last week, right? So if there's something tame here and a vessel, so the ohel is going to transmit the tuma from one thing to another. But it's not going to transmit the tumma to the next level because this thing is chotzeitz. This thing is interrupts the tumma from going up. As opposed to if you have tumma here and then you have a vessel up here suspended, that tumma is going to go up because there's nothing interrupting the tumma from flowing upwards. So this serves a dual purpose, as we had the same concept last week. It's an ohel, so it connects, it now transmits tumma from a tame thing to a vessel that both share this same roof, but it has the same, that's one purpose that serves as an ohel, and it also serves a purpose as a chatzitza, so that if you have something tame here, and then a vessel on top of this, the tumma is not going to transmit through this, because this is going to be chotzeitz, this is going to interrupt the tumma from going through. Those are the two purposes that this thing serves. Now, hayu halyonos kebein hatachtonos, so if the upper ones, what is this, hayu halyonos kebein halyonos, tumma tachtein tachas kulan tame. This is what we just said, that if it's the same width, so then the tumma is going to be tame, is going to transmit tumma to something under it. Agabe and kenegdan alarakia tame. I'm sorry, now it's talking about the staggered, right? So if you have a plank like this and then a plank like this, so the Gemara is now saying that it no longer serves that dual purpose because you no longer have a roof here being mahil. You can't transmit tumma from a tame thing to a vessel here because there's no roof that's connecting them. There's no ohel. And similarly, if you have a tame thing here and then a vessel up here, the fact that this is here isn't going to help you to stop the tumma from going. So the tumma is going to go up and infect that vessel because they're no longer one on top of another, but now they're staggered, right? Good. V'tani Allah, and we say on that, b'med dvar mamurim, when is that all true? Bizman sheyesh ba'en tefach, u'beneihem poseach tefach. That's true when each of these planks is a tefach wide and there's at least a tefach in between. We know that if there's not enough tefach in between, that's going to change the rules also, and the tumma is going to go straight up because there's not enough of an ol to be chotzeitz. Aval in beneihem poseach tefach, tumma tachas achas mehen tachtea tame beneihem ve'agabeihem tahor. But if there's not a aval in beneihem poseach tefach, if there's not a tefach in between, right, it's too small of a gap, so then tumma tachas achas mehen tachtea tame beinehen v'agabeihen tohor. Hold on, I had this last night when I read it. How does this work? Man, the room is unchanged. Behem tefach beinehem poseach tefach. Aval in beinehem poseach tefach, tumma tachas achas mehen tachtea tame beinehen v'agabeihen tohor. Alma ki isbe tefach amin chavot rami, ki lesbe tefach lo amin chavot rami, shma mina. Thank you. How does this work? Tom, someone help me out with the English. If isbe tefach amin chavot rami, ki lesbe tefach lo amin chavot rami. We're not going to say it comes down. Oh yeah, okay, fine. The same principle that we just had by the sukkah is going to apply here too. So if each of these things is a tefach wide, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter that they're staggered because we're going to say chavot rami. We're going to say that even though there might be a big gap here,
but
we're going to
there's a wall there.
It's as if there's a wall here, and so the tumma is going to all kind of. This is all going to be considered an integrated ohel, as opposed
one roof.
One roof because you're going to say chavot rami when each of these are a tefach. As opposed to if it's less than a tefach, then you're not going to say chavot rami. And just like by the sukkah, we said that it's as if it's staggered and it's not going to be a kosher sukkah. So then, so too here, it's not going to kind of create one roof, and it's not going to trap the tumah underneath, and it's not going to be chotzeis, so it's not going to interrupt the tumah from transmitting the tumah to the thing above. So that's the point we're making here, that the same, that this is the source for Rava's rule that if it's more than a tefach, you're going to say chavot rami, you're going to attribute it downwards as if it's like good achas. So then the Gemara says, Yasif Rav Kahana v'kamar l'shmaita. Rav Kahana said over this memra, Amar le Rav Ashi or Rav Kahana, and Rav Ashi then said to Rav Kahana, v'chol heicha d'les be tefach lo amrinu chavot rami, is it really true that anytime you don't have a beam that's a tefach wide, you don't say chavot rami, you don't say good achas mechitzta, that you attribute it downward? Vatanya, and now he's going to bring a brisa from Erevin, which seems to say that even with less than a chavot rami, even less than a tefach, we're still going to say chavot rami. And that is based on the idea of a kora, right? The halacha in Hilchos Erevin is that if you have a mavoi, if you have a cul-de-sac where various chatzeros all share this cul-de-sac, you can carry within that cul-de-sac as long as everyone's made an Erev together, as long as there's been a shitufei mabuos, and there's a heker. There's something that kind of tips you off to the fact that if you go past the end of the cul-de-sac, you're going to be out in the Rosh HaSarabim, right? We're saying you could carry within that cul-de-sac, but we don't want you to carry accidentally past the cul-de-sac out into the Rosh HaSarabim. And so the halacha is you have to put some kind of heker, some kind of noticeable marker at the edge of the cul-de-sac so people won't carry out of the cul-de-sac into the Rosh HaSarabim.
So if they paint the line on the floor.
Well, paint the line on the floor doesn't do the trick.
That's the marker.
Paint the line on the floor. Right, so that doesn't work. You need a kora. You need a beam that goes across. Now, it's also true that you can't need a beam that's noticeable, so a little string across is not going to do the trick. You need a beam across, and the beam has to have minimal dimensions that we'll see. So the Gemara says here, it's quoting a brisa from Erevin, Kora hayotze mikosel zed. Now the Kora has to go from one end of the cul-de-sac to the other. It's got to cover the whole thing. What if it doesn't cover the whole thing? That's the topic of this brisa. Kora hayotze mikosel zed, v'eino nogas b'kosel zed. So if the beam goes, this is the entire width of the cul-de-sac here, right? This is, there's a house here. This is the cul-de-sac. All these chatzeros are all spilling out into this mavoi. And then this is the Rosh HaSarabim. So we want to make a heker, a beam, between the cul-de-sac and the Rosh HaSarabim. And what we're saying here is if you have the kora, a beam, that's coming out from this edge, but it doesn't quite make it across the entire thing. Kora yotzim mikosel zeh ve'ino nogas mikosel zeh. There's a gap between the edge of the beam and the next wall. V'chein shtei koros, or two koros, two beams, achas yotze mikosel zeh, v'achas yotze mikosel zeh, v'ino nogas zu bazu. You have one beam coming out of this wall, and one beam coming out of this wall, but there's a gap in between them, so the beam doesn't extend across the entire thing. Pachos mishlosha, if the gap in either instance between the edge of this kora and the wall, or the gap between the edge of this kora and the edge of this kora, is less than shlosha tfachim, so there you have our rule of lavud, and it's as if we disregard the gap. Eino tzarech lavi kora acheres. You don't have to add anything to this. That works. It's good enough. It's as if it's one integrated kora going across the entire thing, because any gap is less than three tefachim. Shlosha, but if it's three tefachim or more, tzarech lavi kora acheres, then you need to add another kora. You need to add another beam in order to fill the gap. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shimon Gamliel says, pachos me'arba, ein tzarech lavi kora acheres. The rule isn't three, it's four. This is the machlokas tanaim as to what is considered lavud. Is it three tefachim? Is it four tefachim? So Rosh Hashanah says, no, anything more than four tefachim requires another beam, but if it's less than four tefachim, you're okay. Arba tzarech lavi kora acheres. Right, if it's more than four tefachim, then you have to add another kora. That's the first set of cases. And then the Gemara says the next set of cases. And here we're focused not on the on whether the kora is extended the entire breadth of the gap at the edge of the mavoi. Here we're focused on the actual dimensions of the kora itself. The kora, like you said, can't be a little thin string. It has to have a certain amount of thickness. What's that amount of thickness? So Rashi points out, quoting the Mishnah in Erevin, that it's got to be one tefach wide. It's got to be one tefach wide, which again is a hand breadth. And the reason is because it's got to be enough to, it's kedei l'kabel ariach. It's got to be enough to hold a brick. An ariach is also another kind of beam. And an ariach is a half of brick. So their bricks, by convention, were three tefachim wide. Their bricks were three tefachim wide. A half of brick is what?
Like a cinder block.
Like a cinder block, I guess. Yeah. Okay, those were their bricks. A half a brick is a tefach and a half. And if this beam is going to be wide enough to hold a brick, a half a brick, to hold something that's a tefach and a half, it can be as small as a tefach because it'll still hold that brick in a stable way if the brick goes over the sides a little bit. It'll support a one tefach beam is strong enough and wide enough to hold or to balance a tefach and a half brick on it. So the bottom line is, that's a long way of saying that this korah, this beam, has to be one tefach wide.
So how does that work with Erev then? We're using fishing line.
So there, that's a different rule. That's not a korah. A korah is something that's rare in Africa. A korah is something that's at the edge of a mavoi. We're trying to enclose a whole big area with a series of tzuras ha-pesachs, mm-hmm. where it's like a doorway. A doorway doesn't have this rule. A doorway, it's enough that it be a string. As long as it's a korah mikana, korah mikanu, lechi mikanu, korah al-gabeyan, that's going to be enough for a doorway. This is a different door. This requires a heker. You have to actually notice it. So in order to notice it, it's got to be a tefach wide. So here we say, v'chein shtei koros hamatimos lo bezu kebal ariach, lo bezu kebal ariach. Let's say you have two beams. Each one is less than a tefach. So each one on its own is not kosher. Now you put them together, side by side, to give it strength and width. Im mekablos, if they are touching, but if they're touching and they would hold a 1.5 tefach, half brick together, lorachvo tefach, ein sarach avi koracheres. As long as the two very thin beams together form a one tefach wide beam, that's good enough. Vimlav, but if even when you put them together, they're still not a tefach, then sarach lavi korach heres, then you have to add another beam, that's good enough. Rishimu Gamliel Omer, he has a kula. Im mikablos ariach l'arko shlosha tefachim, ein sarach lavi korach heres. He says, if you have beams that are not wide enough, they're each less than a tefach, but you put them next to each other and you spread them out a little bit, so that together they would be strong enough and wide enough to hold a full brick, a three tefach wide brick, then that's good enough, right? So whereas the Tana Kama said that you can't go below a tefach, and if you have two beams that are less than a tefach, you could put them together and make a tefach, but you can't do anything less than that. Rav Shmuel Gamliel has a kula that says, well, even if they're each less than a tefach, and even if together they're less than a tefach, if I spread them in a way, and if they're strong enough to hold a three tefach wide brick, then that's going to be good enough. Vimlav, but if even so, even if as spread apart, they're not strong enough and wide enough to hold a three tefach wide brick, then tzarech lavia koracheres, you have to add another korah. It's not going to be good enough. Fine. That's all an introduction to our most important point, which we'll focus on now. Hayu achas l'malo, the achas l'mato. Let's say you have two koros, two beams. Each of them alone are insufficient as a korah. They wouldn't hold that brick, or they are not wide enough. They're not wide as a tefach. But together they would satisfy the requirements that are laid out by the Tanna Kamma and Shmuel Gamliel. But the problem is that they're not at the same elevation. One is at the lower part, and one is at the higher part. So what do you do? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi the Omer, Rowin Hel Yona Kilu Hilamata. You look like you pretend that the top one, or we can pretend that the top one is as if it's lowered. Vesatachtono Kilu Hilamala, and the lower one as if it's raised. Meaning we can pretend that they're on one integrated elevation. Ubilvad Shlo tehe el yono lamala meyasrim ama v'atachtona lamata meyasara. The other rule regarding these koros of at the end of a mavoi is it's got to be less than 20 tfachim tall, because again, if it's more than 20 tfachim tall, we assume lo shilta ba'ino. We had that in the beginning of this masechta. It's at the beginning of Erevin also. It's got to be within 20 tfachim. So he says, as long as these two koros that are at two elevations all satisfy the elevation requirement generally, they don't extend higher than 20 tfachim, and they're not lower than 10 tfachim, they're all within the kosher area, doesn't bother us, we don't mind that there are different elevations, as long as they're, we're gonna kind of pretend that they merge together at the same elevation. Ha, zev zev betoch estrim. But the implication is that if both of them are within 20 amos from the ground, amrinan chavot rami. It seems to be saying that we're going to pretend that they're at the same elevation. We're going to say chavot rami. We're going to apply that rule that says you could extrapolate them downward. Afa gav dules betefach. And these beams, as we know by definition, because they violate the first rule independently, they're each less than a tefach. So this is all kasha on what we said before. We said before that you could only say, Rava said before, you could only say chavot rami. You could only pretend something is lower. You can only say good achis, that it's halachically lower, if it has a substantial width of a tefach. But here, by these beams, the whole problem arose because they're less than a tefach. If they were a tefach, each independently would act as a korah. It's only because they're less than a tefach that you need to put them together. And yet we're saying chavot rami, even though they're each less than a tefach. How do you reconcile that with the rule of Rava earlier, that you'd only say chavot rami, you only pretend that they are pushed downward if they have more than a tefach? So Amar Leih, so he responded, Turitz ve'imahachi, ubilvad shlotei al yono lamala me'esrim, ela betoch esrim. So we're going to kind of rework or reword the rule that we just said above. This works. We could say chavot rami, we could pretend they're at the same elevation, as long as the top one is within 20, v'atachtona samucha la bepachos l'mishlosha. But now we're adding a requirement that it's got to be within 3 tfachim, meaning we said before that you have to say chavot rami, and therefore the rule only will apply, or the mechanism will only apply if it's a tefach wide, if they are very separated from each other. But we said before, if they're within 3 tefachim of each other, then you don't need to rely on chavot rami. You wouldn't need it to be a tefach wide because you have lavud. If they're within 3 tefachim of each other, you can just disregard the gap altogether, and it's if it's one integrated piece of schach in the sukkah connection, in the sukkah iteration of this. And so to here too, what we're saying is, we're saying that as long as they are within 3 tfachim of each other, you can pretend they're at the same elevation, and that therefore you can combine them and say that they're wide enough to hold that brick of 3 tfachim, and that they're a good korah. But that's only if they're within 3 tfachim of each other, where you can rely on lavud. If they're more than 3 tfachim of each other, in which case you'd have to rely on chavot rami, so then Rava's rule stands, and chavot rami will only apply if each board is greater than a tefach, which clearly you don't have here in the context of the korah, because that was the whole problem. Inami, or alternatively, you can reread it, inami bilvad shlotei tachtona lamata me'asara, elamala me'asara, velyona smucha la bepachos mishlosha. It's just basically repeating what we just said in a slightly different way. But the point is that you don't say chavot rami in a situation where it's less than a tefach. You only are going to allow these boards to come together where they're 3 tefachim within one another. Okay, that's that. But the bottom line is, according to Rava, you're going to be able to say chavot rami where these two things don't align with each other, they're different elevations. There are basically three ways the sukkah is going to be kosher. Either they're at the same level, right? Or they're at different levels, but they're within 3 tefachim of each other, so you can rely on lavud. Or there's even more of a gap in between, and you can't rely on lavud, But each one is greater than a tefach, and if it's greater than a tefach, you can rely on chavod rami to say it's like good achas mechitzta, that it kind of is attributed downward, and you can rely on that. That's the bottom line of that sugya. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah of Itzish, Shetzilza Ruba Mechamsa, this is David's point, Shetzilza Ruba Mechamsa Kshera. We said if there's more shade than sun, it's kosher. So the implication, says the Gemara, is Ha Ki Adadi Psula, right? If the Gemara, Mishnah said the rule is that you need more shade than sun, the implication is if you have exactly as much shade as sun, that would be insufficient. It's got to be, you need more shade than sun, right? Ha ki adadi psua. But tanan b'idach pirkin, the Gemara says, but didn't we have a Mishnah at the very beginning of the Masechta that says, v'shechamsa miru meitzilsa psua. It's puzzle if there's more sun than shade. Ha ki adadi kshera. When you phrase it that way, you end up with an implication that goes just the opposite way, that if they have equal widths, there's just as much sun as shade, then they're kosher. So you seem to have two contradictory braises, at least in the implication. Which way do you go if they're equal? Do you go that the equal amounts would be pusul, like the implication of our Mishnah, or equal amounts would be kosher, like the implication of the first Mishnah? So the Gemara answer is lo kasha. Kan milamala, our Mishnah says that a pusul amount is where they're equal at the top. Where they're equal at the top, they're going to end up with more light on the ground, right? This the way the light works, the way the sun works. At least I don't know actually. Maybe the time depends on the time of the day. Apparently, if you have gaps that are equal at the top, you're going to end up with the sunlight cascading in a way that there's more sun at the bottom. That's going to be pusul. So if it's equal at the top, you're going to end up with more sun at the bottom than shade, and that's going to make it pusul. That doesn't sound right, does it?
Any kind of light.
Light cascades, spreads. Okay, it spreads.
It fans out.
It fans out, right.
Just like these lights, you're not looking at it just right underneath.
Right.
It lights up an area.
Okay.
So the light shining in is going to light up the area.
But it's more than lighting up the area. I'm thinking of the shadow on the floor. Is that not true? I don't know.
Well, if there's the light showing in, you're not going to have as much of a shadow.
You mean between the gaps of the shade?
Between the gaps of the
shade, it comes out.
It does come out, right?
It's going to spread out.
So you're going to have more light at the bottom, right. Even if it's equal at the top, shade, sun, but at the bottom, it's going to have more light than shade, right? And that's where we say it's pusul, because you have more light than shade. That's kan milamala. Kan milamata. Whereas we said it's kosher when it's equal at the bottom. As long as it's equal at the bottom, that implies that you have more shade at the top than sunlight. And that's going to be good. Amra, papa hainu damriinshi. Kizuza milel kistra milotachas. So Rav Papa says there's a phrase that people say that a zuz, which is small, a small kind of coin at the top, is going to end up being like a sela, is like a bigger kind of coin at the bottom, because light cascades in that way. And so that's the rule. That's how it's going to work out. And then finally we said mu'uva kimin bias. We said in the Mishnah that if you have lots and lots of schach, so that it's almost like a roof of a house, and even though you can't even see the stars through that schach, it's kosher. That's what the Mishnah said. So Tana Rabbanan, we have a braisa. Amuva kimin bayis. Afal pishen kochavim nirim mitocha ksheir. Just like our Mishnah said, if it's a lot of schach, it's piled on very heavy, even though you can't see the, and it's so heavy that you can't see the stars through it, near ksheir, that's still kosher. However, if it's even more piled on, that even during the day you can't see sunlight through it, that's really, really piled up. So then that's too much for Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai poslin uveisil machshirim. Beit Shammai says that's pusul. Beit Shammai says that's kosher. And so there's at least a machlokes Beit Shammai veisil about that. Okay, we'll stop there.
All right. So,